Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning, reacting to a big Titans win last night, 42-16 against the Buffalo Bills. The Titans moved to 4-0 on the season. And Joe, we're about at the point, you know, Titans 4 games into the season, most teams 5 games into the season at this point. You're starting to see the upper crust of the NFL begin to separate themselves from the rest of the pack. So let's throw out our top 10 NFL teams, and we'll see where the Titans rank in the top 10. Joe, if I were to ask you who your number one team in the NFL is right now, who would you be? Who would you go with?
Chiefs.
Chiefs?
Yep. Chiefs had a bad day. Mahomes had a weird day. The Raiders did a great job of bothering him. They had, you know, the Raiders hit shots to Ruggs downfield. Great game for the Raiders. Great win. Does not change my mind on the Chiefs. They're good on D. It's far and away the best offense in the league. Chiefs are number one.
See, this is where we could start to go contrarian, but we're not. I got the Chiefs, too. Number one.
Okay.
Basically for the same reasons. Look, they lost. They're probably going to end up going 13-3, 14-2, and they'll be just fine. It's just hard for me at this point to bet against Patrick Mahomes. Number two on the list. Who do you got, Joe?
I'm sticking Ravens.
Oh.
Number two. And I know they looked really bad against the Chiefs, but, you know, that defense is still really, really good. And the offense is going to have a lot of success most weeks. And I just, this gets a little tougher, but I'm sticking with them at two.
So we've got two teams with one loss in the top two for Joe Rexrode
yes,
here.
That's right. That's right.
Give me the Green Bay Packers at number two, baby. The homer pick is in. I didn't put them number one, but I've got them at number two. They looked really good so far. Really, really good.
Well,
offensively.
It is a homer pick, but. Whoa.
What's the mic there?
So I've had two mutes and a whatever
it's
the heck that was.
Yeah, I know you don't like. I know you're a Detroit fan, but that doesn't mean he punched the mic because he mentioned the Packers.
I have disliked some Packers teams over the years, but yeah, they're my they're. Well, I guess, yeah, we can just go to that. They're my three. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, they're my three.
Okay.
So, and it was close.
So we flip-flopped two and three. You've got the Ravens at two, Packers three. I've got Packers two, Ravens three.
Okay.
So those are our top three there. So the Titans, not in either one of our top three teams in the NFL. We were talking earlier, are the Titans an elite team in the NFL? How far down the list can you go before you get out of the elite teams? That's something we'll continue to discuss here. At number four, Joe, who you got?
There's where I'm coming in with the Titans.
All right.
I'm coming in Titans at fourth right now. So two spots behind Jeff Saturday, by the way, who put the Titans right behind the Chiefs last night after that game. But I've got them in my top four. And now, as currently constructed, maybe not, even though they just blew out the Bills. But I think when you look at what they are and what they're getting back here soon, they got a chance to really have a heck of a year.
And how much does the pass rush kind of hinder you from maybe putting them at four? Or are you putting them at four with the expectation that the pass rush eventually gets better?
Yeah, I think that's like last night's pass rush, which was just non-existent, really. Landry had one sack, and they almost got home a couple times. They sent a bunch of blitzes, but it didn't have Jeffrey Simmons, which certainly will make a difference. But it still hasn't been good enough. I think they still have the personnel to have a better pass rush. And I just can't imagine, and I could end up being wrong, that Clowney and Beasley are going to go through this whole year and not get going. You know, I think one or both will get going.
So that leaves two undefeated teams left. I also had the Titans at number four. You got two undefeated teams left. At number five, I've got the Seahawks. I really like the way, obviously, Russell Wilson is playing this year. I think he is by far and away the leader in the clubhouse at the moment for the MVP award. I still got some questions about that Seahawks defense. I don't fully trust them at the moment. They've been a little shaky at times this year. But Russell Wilson and that offense, I mean, they're just never out of a game with him at the quarterback position. So I give them the edge at number five, the Seattle Seahawks. Who you got at five?
Exactly the same thing. I got the Seahawks. And I hear you absolutely on the defense. You know, the funny thing is, whose defense do we trust in the NFL right now? I mean, go through. I'm looking at this whole list, and I'm not seeing anyone that I'm like, oh, that defense, you don't want to mess with them. I think the Ravens are the best D that I have in the top 10 as far as performance and personnel. So it's that kind of league right now.
Offense certainly having some fun to start this season. In both the NFL and in college football, the SEC's been crazy, too, with just the lack of defense. At number six, I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, largely because of their defense. I think it's pretty good. It's not – I agree. I don't think it's on par with the Ravens, but they're pretty good. And Ben has been pretty good – no pun intended, but he's been pretty good so far this year. Right now, they're leading the division in the AFC North, 4-0 on the season, a big matchup in a couple of weeks against the Titans. I've got the Steelers at six.
I have got the Bills at six. Still, I'm putting them ahead of the Steelers. I still think they're a better team. Again, with everyone, you got to, for all the praise the Titans deserve for what they've been through and what they missed and the time and the players, the Bills missed three of their top five players last night. And when they have them back, they're certainly better on defense with Milano and Tre'Davious White. And also, think about John Brown in the field last night. It was digs, digs, digs all night and a little of Cole Beasley here and there. And they still went 13-17 on third down. You give him John Brown, it's scary. I think the Bills are still right there.
And I've got the Bills at seven, so is it safe to assume you've got the Steelers at seven?
It is not.
Wow. No disrespect for Pittsburgh, or no respect for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, sorry, Pittsburgh, but I've got
the
Saints.
You're going to get people mad.
I got the Saints next.
The Saints?
The Saints. I do. Look, I'm going off one half, and I know they're 2-3. I think the Saints actually have maybe the best defense in this top 10, honestly, as far as what they have. They haven't always played that way. And I know Drew Brees was awful. And, man, Sean Payton's going to drive me crazy with the Taysom Hill stuff. But, yeah, I do. I think that they are that good. And this is, you know, quality of team. It's certainly not standings related. But I think the Saints are still a contender in the NFC.
Are the Steelers in your top 10?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just checking. At eight, I've got the Browns. Your beloved Cleveland Browns, baby. 4-1.
Ooh.
I'm surprised you didn't have the Browns at, like, three.
The Browns aren't in my top 10.
What are you – how could you be that guy that picks them to make the playoffs, and now they sit here 4-1 and you don't have them in the top 10?
Well, I still think they're going to make the playoffs. It's not just 10 teams that make the playoffs.
I'm aware, but they're 4-1, Joe.
I like the Browns. I've got a controversial pick related to that, too.
You've already had one with the Saints, but continue.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I like the Browns a lot, but now I don't have them in the top 10. And my next team is the Steelers. I have the Steelers eighth. Like them a lot. Their defense is not as good as I thought it would be yet. You know, their offense is very good, no question about it. You know, Chase Claypool makes them even tougher. So I like them a lot. You know, I thought they'd be a little bit more I thought they could be one of the better defenses in the league. They haven't been. Now, again, it's sort of like that kind of year, too. So maybe you have to keep that in mind with them. They still have some great players on that side of the ball.
At number nine, I have the L.A. Rams.
Wait, who do you have eight? I'm sorry.
I had the Browns eight.
Who do you have seven?
I had the Bills.
Okay. I don't know if we hit that, but Bills seven, Browns
Bills seven,
eight.
Browns okay. eight. At number nine, I've got the Rams. L.A. Rams. Jared Goff and company. This is back to being one of those years, like you said yesterday, where Sean McVay looks like a genius. He's been really good. Jared Goff's been good. That offense is playing well. Defense is playing good enough. And they've had a lot of travel to deal with, too, this year, and they've still found a way to get it done. Give me the L.A. Rams at the number nine spot.
Same here. Exactly. Really good team. A team that, frankly, and they blew it at Buffalo. They had that game won. They had a little help from the officials. But, yeah, they're very good.
And then I've got your beloved New Orleans Saints at number 10. I just think I haven't been impressed with them offensively. Now, what do they look like when Michael Thomas gets back? That's an interesting question.
Yes.
But the question still remains, even if he's back, can Drew Brees throw the ball down the field? I mean, he's never really been the guy with the huge arm.
Right.
But can he get the ball down the field more consistently? I've still got questions there, but I believe in Sean Payton and that team. They're number 10 on my list right now.
Yeah. I mean, I just like their D-line a lot and their secondary. And, yeah, I agree. Now, Sanders, the way he's playing with Thomas coming in, I really like that combo. And, obviously, to me, the best running back in the NFL this year has been Alvin Kamara, even though the other night he didn't have a big night. But that catch he had late, like most receivers don't make that catch.
Yeah.
My 10 is not the Browns, the team the Browns just beat. I know people are like, wait a minute, we just watched them beat them. But I still think the Colts are a little bit better team than the Browns. Now, we know what Phillip Rivers did in that game and has done, and it's been very disappointing. I think their overall quality, I think their defense of this list is maybe the best, right there with the Ravens. Love their offensive line, their backs, good receivers. It comes down to Phillip Rivers playing better, and maybe he won't, but I still think they're a top 10 team, a playoff team. And I'm not conceding the division to the Titans yet, although last night was a big early step there.
You've let Floyd Reese talk you into the Colts. He came on the show yesterday, and now you're a big believer in Phillip Rivers.
Well, yeah, not in Phillip. That's been my problem with them the whole time, and it still is. He's proven me. I think he's proven a lot of us. Like, yeah, here you go. But I love the rest of their team. They need to find a QB, which is not usually a thing in Indy. It must stink, Colts fans.
How's that feel?
You go Peyton to Luck, you know. I mean, a lot of franchises don't get one of those guys. You had back-to-back. So now you get what you deserve.
So both of us had the Titans at number 4 in the list in the top 10 teams in the NFL. Where do you have the Titans? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to that next. But first, make sure you're tuning in today. It's match day. Nashville SC takes on the Houston Dynamo tonight at 7 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 6:45. We'll be right back. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Week 6 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will start this Thursday. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win, starting every Thursday and before the college game begins on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a 10-roof gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We gave out our power rankings for the NFL right now. We got the Titans at 4 in the league right now. We talked earlier in the show about, are the Titans an elite team right now? Joe, I think you said that they still have some things to show you defensively before you're ready to give them elite status in the league. But number 4 on the power rankings, that's a good spot to be through the first 4 games of the season if you're the Titans.
Yeah, I think if they can get to good, that's the bar to me. Get to good on defense. Good means, yeah. You know, right now it's funny because the Titans are very bad in many, many defensive rankings, and yet they're still, I think, top 10 in points allowed, which is still the bottom line. Dean Pease used to say that all the time. Like, you know what stat I care about? How many points we're giving up, you know? And they are getting that done. Last night helped in that regard, but 60% opponent conversions on third downs, last, like dead last in the NFL after a 13-for-17 night for the Bills, which is just insane that you win a game by 26 giving up 13 third downs. It's amazing. Yeah. But they have to get better. They have to get to good on D. I think their offense is in a league with a whole bunch of good offenses, could be right up near the top, especially the running game still hasn't totally put it together. We still haven't really seen the whole passing game. You said it earlier on the show, Davis was a little banged up in the opener. Then they don't have A.J. Brown. What happens when they get all those guys back with Jonnu Smith playing the way he is? It's a
pretty good offense.
It's a very good offense. So I think you get to good on defense, you get to where you can get some pressure with your front four, and you're not giving up 200 rushing yards in a game and things like that. And I think they have the personnel to do that. Then I think they can be an elite team.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, should the Colts sign Le'Veon Bell? We were talking about that earlier in the show. The Jets have released Le'Veon Bell. You've had Marlon Mack out with an injury for the Colts. Still have Jonathan Taylor there. Do you think Le'Veon Bell would be a good fit with the Colts?
I like Jonathan Taylor so far. I think he's been good. Hines is a good, really good pass catcher for them. Yeah, I don't think that's a – I mean, they could, but I don't know that that's a big upgrade. They need better quarterbacking.
They do.
You know, like, and Le'Veon can throw it pretty well, by the way, but I don't think that's –
a halfback
I don't
pass
think
out
that,
there.
Yeah, I don't think that move would do that much for them. I could be wrong. It's just hard for me to know with Le'Veon. It's just – it's like when I've watched him with them, he does look like he's not the player he was in Pittsburgh, but it's so – that was such a loaded offense then, especially when you think about when Antonio Brown was basically the best receiver in the league,
yeah,
and Roethlisberger at the top of his game, to what he's been playing in. It's hard. It's really hard to assess him. Someone is going to sign him. I don't think that'll be the team.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Jared, who wants to weigh in. Jared, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Row. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I hope y'all are doing pretty well. I apologize if the audio is bad. I'm actually driving right now.
You're good. Go ahead.
All right. Great. Well, hey, I need a comment on these power rankings because I can't sit by and let this happen. But so I got kind of two takes here. One, I think the Titans are a lot like the Seahawks in that the offense is very powerful, you know, performing well, but the defense just, it leaves a lot to be desired. And I think, you know, if you do the power rankings and you get down to the Titans and Seahawks, you may have to put Seahawks ahead just because I think their offense has performed a little bit better, especially in the clutch. And the defenses, you know, are what they are. But also the Steelers, I dislike the Steelers as much as the next guy, but they've been playing really well, and I think their three receivers, you know, are really dynamic, and it's hard to put that behind the Bills where you look at their three receivers, and John Brown is what he is, but are you going to say Cole Beasley is better than Chase Claypool? You know, that to me is just hard to swallow, but that's it, guys. Thanks.
I like it, Jared. Hammer that pick for Rex Road.
Coming at
the Steelers down.
Well, I will say that I definitely – that ranking is influenced by – I watched a lot of the Steelers-Eagles game Sunday, and their defense. I think the Eagles are dreadful. They're probably the most disappointing team in the league. And the Steelers' defense was not good in that game. If we're going to say whose third receiver is better, I will absolutely take Chase Claypool over Cole Beasley. I just think the Bills – are a little bit better team. It's close. I knocked the Steelers down a little bit there. And as far as the Titans, Seahawks, see, the Titans actually in the clutch, I think they've been as good as anyone. But I mean, though, both of them have been as good as anyone, right?
They've done it in different ways, right? Like Russell Wilson has done it in ways where you're just like, oh, my goodness, he's leading them down the field and nobody's stopping them. The Titans, I mean, a lot of it's been Gostkowski in the clutch, and that's been important. But it's not like it's been, you know, Tannehill throwing 65-yard bombs to somebody like Wilson has with Metcalf.
Right. Now, he did have a big bomb to Raymond in Minnesota.
He did.
But Tannehill still executed in the clutch to set up all those winning scores.
Agreed, yeah.
I mean, it's also the Seahawks, by the way, very clutch by Russell Wilson. Most clutch goes to Mike Zimmer
The
idiotic two-point conversion, followed by the idiotic going for it instead of taking an 8-point lead, which should have been a 9-point lead because he went for the idiotic 2-point conversion. But still, I agree. It's close there.
It is. And look, if you're the Titans, I think the most exciting part is you still have a lot of room to grow, right? Like, last night was what it was. You had a lot of players still out of the lineup. But you look back to the first 3 weeks when they were relatively healthy for the most part, there's a lot of holes in that team. We were talking about, you know, the win in Minnesota. The defense just got gashed on the ground by Dalvin Cook. They didn't look all that great against Jacksonville in the second half. We all know what the debacle was in Denver with the field goal kicking and everything that went wrong there. There haven't been a game yet where if you're the Titans, I think you feel like you were just totally dominant from start to finish. Like, even though last night the score is what it is, it's 42-16, you start to dive into it a little bit and break it down. 13 of 17 on third down for Buffalo. Yeah, you got the two turnovers, and that ultimately was a big difference in the game. But there's a lot of holes still with this team. And you can look at that, I think, a couple ways. Number one, you can look at it if you're a pessimist and say, all right, well, eventually these holes are going to catch up to the Titans. Or number two, hey, they got an opportunity to continue to improve and get better here and think about how good they could be if they do that and they take that next step on defense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, you have to feel really good about this offense. And when your quarterback is your best player and when he's really – one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, more people need to acknowledge this, then you have to feel great about things. But you're right, the defense, great job being opportunistic last night, but they got a lot of work to do. And I think the good thing is here, we haven't talked a lot about Clowney today. You know, we're still waiting for him to make a big impact, but he's still a guy who can, and I fully believe that. And, you know, with Clowney and Beasley between them, with Simmons coming back, I think you should be able to, if you're the Titans, improve in that area that right now has been sorely lacking.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, they're not elite. Half the league's teams have a higher ceiling than the Titans. The Titans just have a really high floor. our best attribute is we don't beat ourselves, but we'll get beat once in the playoffs.
Well, that's most teams do. Everybody but one does get beat once in the playoffs. But
what do you make of the Titans? Maybe the ceiling's not as high, the floor is.
I agree. I think the floor comment, I get what you're saying, but teams in this league have a higher ceiling than the Titans. I strongly disagree with that. I really do. Because I think when you have an offense like this, you got a chance to, I think, be in any game anyway. And again, I think the personnel is there for the defense. We have not seen this team's best cornerback play yet. He has not played yet. We have not seen a lot of the rookie second-round pick corner who has speed, who I think can definitely make them better. And it's just early on those edge guys. I'm not saying I know for sure they're going to come through, but I think we're going to see more than this. I think the ceiling – I think they're quite a ways away from their ceiling, which is why, to me, if you're going to pick pessimism or optimism, I think optimism is the easy choice right now. To be 4-0, have all this stuff to work on, and still know that you can be a lot better than this.
We're going to have Adam Vingan from The Athletic join us in the next segment. We'll get into a little bit of Preds free agency with him. But I want to throw out this stat that the NFL on CBS has tossed out there, and it's a comparison between Ryan Tannehill and Patrick Mahomes, and they're going back to 14 starts in the regular season with Tannehill as the quarterback, and comparing that with Mahomes and his last 14 starts. Both guys are 11-3 during that span. Mahomes has 3,674 yards passing, Tannehill at 3,602, so very close there, and then a touchdown interception ratio of 31-6 for Tannehill, 28-6 for Mahomes. Tannehill has the edge in quarterback rating too, 116.7 compared to 102.3. That's pretty eye-opening stuff there, comparing Tannehill and Patrick Mahomes. That's three.
Oh, but you just
did one too. I followed it up.
Three for me, one for you. Yeah, those stats are eye-opening for sure. Stats have their limitations, but think about the length of that sample size now. This is way beyond, you know, he's on a hot streak, smoke and mirrors, anything like that. Those are big-time numbers.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Jose. Go ahead. Thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. You know, last night, I had to say, as I look at what happened, the special teams last night was on fire. Every bit of it was just on point, and those guys really stepped up. And, you know, if Darrington Evans can ever get healthy, I mean, that little change of pace, that'll be a great little mix-up for defenses to worry about. And lastly, I think the defense is really playing that bend, not break type of zone, and just hoping that Josh kind of makes a mistake here or there, and it turned out to be a pretty good strategy in the end.
Sure it did. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, there was a lot that went right for the Titans on special teams last night. We haven't even talked about it. Like, that punt by Brett Kern, oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just a bomb that he had in that. He is unbelievable.
Well, the Bills punter had the best punt I've seen.
Oh, my God, that one was unbelievable.
Honestly, I couldn't believe that thing was 80-plus in the air. I mean, that totally flipped the field from his own end zone.
Like, is the ball ever going to come down? Oh, man.
But, yeah, Kern was, brilliant as always. You know, special teams, you get that 40-yard Raymond return. When's the last time we saw a big punt return from the Titans?
It's been a while.
Milton with a big-time play and coverage. The little things,
they add up after a while. When we come back, our good buddy Adam Vingan from The Athletic will join us. We'll get into some Preds free agency with him. Do they have any more big moves left on the table? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road taking you through this Wednesday morning. We've talked about the big Titans win all morning long here on the show, but it's still a very busy week for the Nashville Predators as well. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, sponsored by Sealmaster. Adam, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Speaking of big football wins, Marquise giving me some yin-yang twins there to celebrate the Saints' comeback victory the other night.
Here's someone
that's what it was for.
See, Vingan will appreciate my ranking of the Saints. I'm getting a lot of flack right now.
Vingan, is Drew Brees done?
No, I think the second half proved that, no?
I mean, this has been a multiple game thing now where we've asked this question about Drew Brees.
Adam, do you
pretty good second half.
Do you hate Taysom Hill as much as Joe Rexroad?
Do I hate Taysom Hill as much as Joe Rexroad? I love me some Taysom Hill, man.
So you're good. You're third and four, and you're like, oh yeah, let's put Taysom in right now.
No, I like Taysom Hill on the goal line, like in the red zone or on the goal line, better than further. The closer to the goal line, the better it is.
So you don't love Taysom Hill. You just like him sparingly. That's fine. Cool. I'm with you there.
Yeah, he dislikes him less than I dislike him, but you can't have liked that fumble that swung the Packers game.
No, of course not.
Well, they were going to lose that Packers game anyway, but yeah. I digress. Adam Vinken from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam's been a busy free agency period so far for the Predators. Obviously traded Nick Bonino, bought out Kyle Turris, added a lot of depth forwards and grip to the lineup. Do you think there are more moves coming later this week, maybe even today, from the Predators?
Yeah, that's the question, right? Because the Predators have been incredibly active since last Wednesday, starting with the trade of Nick Bonino, then buying out Kyle Turris and signing Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning on the first day of free agency, and then adding Nick Cousins and Brad Richardson in the past couple of days. So, I see the Predators. They're sitting on a ton of cap space. I think they're in the top five in the league in terms of available cap space. And it's just hard to believe that the Predators are done. I can't say that for sure. But I am curious to see if something were to happen today or tomorrow. My understanding is that David Poyle is planning to address reporters tomorrow. And typically, when a general manager speaks after free agency, that means that most of his work is done. So I wonder if something might happen today or tomorrow. But certainly the Predators have accomplished their goal of becoming harder to play against. But I'm still sort of concerned for them in terms of where the goals are going to come from.
Yeah, so is this a playoff team as constructed, Adam?
They are a borderline playoff team as constructed. I think if this were the roster that they were to go into the season with, whatever that starts, under normal circumstances, which of course this is far from normal circumstances, this is a team that I think is battling for the second wild card spot with a week left in the regular season. I think they can make the playoffs. I wouldn't expect them to make any significant progress or noise in the playoffs. But I do think that when you look at the additions versus the subtractions, they certainly, as I said, have gotten quote unquote tougher, but they are definitely less talented now than they were a week ago. Say what you will about Kyle Turris and Craig Smith and Mikael Granlund, but they are naturally skilled players. Luke Kunin and Nick Cousins and Brad Richardson are not on the same level as them in terms of natural talent. So this team is definitely tougher. I think they're less talented.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic on the line with us, presented by Sealmaster. So Adam, obviously Taylor Hall was a guy a lot of Predators fans turned their attention to. Number one, how surprised were you that he decided to sign in Buffalo? And number two, do you think there was some pretty strong interest in Taylor Hall from the part of the Predators?
Now, for your first question, it's funny because I think Taylor Hall, during his introductory Zoom call in Buffalo, seemed to be a bit surprised himself that there was so much shock that he went to Buffalo. I mean, I'm not sure what Taylor Hall has been reading, but everybody was shocked that he went to Buffalo. Nobody was expecting him to sign with Buffalo, especially considering he said at the end of the season when the Coyotes were eliminated that winning was a priority, and the Sabres haven't made the playoffs in a decade. But it's the smart play for him. He'll be on the line with Jack Eichel. Jeff Skinner just experienced a couple of years ago the benefit of playing with Jack Eichel. He had 40 goals and then signed an 8-year contract, so he's set for life. And Taylor Hall could do the same thing. He can play with Jack Eichel, get back to the Hart Trophy numbers he had a few years ago, and then if he wants to, he can go back into free agency where he'll be the belle of the ball again. So I think it was some smart, maybe 3D chess, everybody else is playing checkers kind of move for Taylor Hall. And to answer the second question, certainly I think there was interest in the part of the Predators. I'm not sure, I cannot say definitively how far down the road they got, but certainly they considered it. I have to imagine so. because you know one of the appeals of Buffalo to Taylor Hall was reuniting with Ralph Krueger, who was his coach in Edmonton several years ago, and of course we know the relationship that Taylor has with John Hines. So I have to imagine that that was a consideration as well. But I think from everything that I've read and heard, that Buffalo was the only team that was willing to pay him that much on a short-term contract.
So I threw out this idea of like another earth-shaking Poile move, maybe one of their core players moved out. There's been a little talk. I know our colleague Craig Custance, I think last week at one point said, you know, Matt Duchene is even someone who is at least in some kind of discussion. You can't rule him out as being possibly moved. Of course, I think we probably thought Ryan Johansson was a stronger candidate for that before he played the way he did. I threw out Ekholm and Ellis, even as guys who you could try to really shake things up and change your team. It doesn't look like I'm going to be – I just took a guess that he would do something like that. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. Would something like that shock you at this point?
It would, just because a lot of those reports, the one that you're referencing from Craig and Frank Saravalli of TSN had a similar report about Predator centers being available. That was before they traded Nick Bonino and bought out Kyle Turris.
Right.
I think if you are seriously considering trading one of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, that to me would spell the dreaded R word, rebuild. I think, you know, David Poile spent so much time talking about how much he loves his top four on defense. I can't imagine either Ekholm or Ellis being moved, though I do believe that if the Predators wanted to acquire another game-changing forward, I think one of those two defensemen would be the play. You know, last week I did this story where I solicited trade proposals. I think we talked about this from readers, and I got one in multiple variances. Was Matthias Ekholm to the Toronto Maple Leafs for William Nylander. And I sent that to our Maple Leafs reporter, Jonas Siegel, who squashed the idea of Ekholm being traded for Nylander. But then he said, well, if the Predators were willing to give up Ryan Ellis, like I think Ryan Ellis is probably the player that would fetch this team a game-breaking forward. But Ryan Ellis, in my opinion, played at an elite level last year, and I don't think David Poile has any interest in breaking up his top four right now.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, presented by Sealmaster. All right, Adam, last thing for you here. Mike Hoffman, a guy that's been connected to the Predators, also sounds like the Bruins have got some pretty strong interest in him as well. If the Predators go that route, what sort of a player would they be getting in Mike Hoffman? And if they don't, what do you do on the second line at that point if you're John Hines?
Yeah, well, Mike Hoffman is one of the best goal scorers in the NHL. Over the past six seasons, he is tied for 16th among NHL players in goals. He is a regular 25 to 30 goal threat, has an incredible release, especially on the power play. So he would help the Predators both at even strength on offense and on the power play. Not the most responsible defensive player. You know, what I would say about Mike Hoffman, as I do say about other players, is that he's a rather one-dimensional player, but he's really darn good at that one dimension, which is scoring. And he and Matt Duchene were line mates in Ottawa a few years ago, so there's some familiarity there. But if Mike Hoffman is off the table, I don't know what they could do, because Tyler Toffoli is off the table as well. He signed with Montreal a couple of days ago. Evgeny Dadonov, who also plays for the Florida Panthers, is another option as a scoring winger. Do the Predators swallow hard and call back Mikhail Granlund and say, hey, buddy, you know, like, what's going on? No, I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think if they strike out on someone like Mike Hoffman or are not interested in someone like Mike Hoffman, then that second line remains a serious question. I mean, even if you were to put Luke Cunningham on that second line, and David Poile thinks he could be a 20-goal scorer, that still doesn't necessarily make that line any better. So I feel like Mike Hoffman, I guess you can also throw in Anthony Duclair, who's sort of like a Mike Hoffman-like. I think if they don't directly address that left wing or right left wing on the second line, it's going to remain a weakness moving forward.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Sealmaster. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you joining us as always.
All right, guys. Try to limit the Taysom Hill slack, you know, slander.
We'll see.
That you're... No,
it's hard for me, man.
Don't do it.
Just tell Sean Payton, quit giving him the ball 10 times a game.
He's a good lead blocker.
Wow. Thanks, Adam. We appreciate it, man. Look, I'm all for like some New Orleans Saints slander when Adam's on the line. It does my soul good.
Hey, I do have a quick, so Matthew McConnell, who TV announcer for the Coyotes.
Okay.
He just DM'd me, a Michigan State guy, he just DM'd me a quick thing because, you know, Cousins and Richardson, of course, he knows them well. He says, Cousins, Swiss Army knife, bottom six guy can play wing, good on pucks, hard worker. Richardson, just a very good pro, excellent in the circle, hell of a PK guy. You know, took him a good year to some injuries. Two good ads by the Treads. That's the by the Preds. We don't want to call the Preds the Treads.
No.
So two good ads by the Preds per Matt McConnell on Cousins and Richardson. That's a scouting report from Arizona.
I like it. I like what they're doing there in terms of bringing a different element to the bottom six. But if you don't have goals in the top six, it's going to be hard to compete, and that's going to be the next step. I mean, you got to figure that out.
Hoffman feels important.
Yes, I'd say very much so. And I think regardless, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Eli Tolvanen either way. And we'll continue to dissect that throughout the week. Maybe we'll know an answer on Mike Hoffman and the Predators today. We'll definitely keep it tapped into the free agency world in the NHL. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts from Titans and Bills, and look ahead a little bit to the Texans game as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, I just guess kind of following up on that, you know, every time we spoke to you during the outbreak, you know, you said it was kind of you guys making the best out of a difficult situation. You know, how did you sort of ensure that this was a galvanizing thing when it seemed like every single morning you guys were waking up to bad news?
Well, you don't all of a sudden galvanize when things are bad. You know, I think that that's a testament to these players and what we've tried to build here. You don't always say, oh, there's a storm. We better galvanize. You know, you stay tight throughout. And then, you know, you hope that, you know, the fundamentals and what you know, your core beliefs and core values, you know, can take over when things get difficult.
Vrabel throwing it out there last night in the postgame press conference after a 42-16 win for the Titans against the Bills. That's about as animated as you'll hear Mike Vrabel in a press conference setting. You'll hear him much more animated than that on the field, but in a press conference setting.
Well, he'll say some stuff sometimes, but yeah, I appreciate the profanity. I like it. I mean, it's that, you know, it's a perfect capper to last couple weeks for this team. What a ride it has been.
And hopefully that ride is over with, at least for the time being. I haven't seen anything today from Pelissero or anything else about test results. It almost feels good.
Yeah, I mean, there's
like, did they just stop?
I you know, I guess
someone check if Tom Pelissero is not like suspended.
Yeah, did he get suspended
for Manscaped or something along those lines?
Just running through the NFL Network. They took out Rappaport, and now Pelissero in danger.
Oh my!
He tweeted 22 minutes ago. So
hey, so a reader sent us this, and I apologize because I've linked it now. I've gotten out of the mentions, but a reader sent us a CBS Sports ranking of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay.
So without looking, go ahead and give – and this is, by the way, this is a move up, okay? This is after last night, so everybody watching play last night. So give me your guess of where CBS Sports ranks Ryan Tannehill among NFL quarterbacks. This is Hibbs who sent this to us, by the way, NFL quarterbacks.
Right, I'll say now. 8. I'll put him at 8.
They put him at moving up to 18.
18?
18. So he's
18?
18.
Is there a,
they've got they got Justin Herbert, 15. They got Kirk Cousins, 14.
God.
They got Carson Wentz, 13. They got
Justin Herbert.
Jared Goff, 8.
Justin Herbert. Wait, look.
Kyler Murray, 5.
Wait, can we?
I mean, this is a pretty bad.
Can
list.
We slow?
It's just pretty
like,
bad.
Let's rewind it back. Now, Ryan Tannehill is at 18. Let's like read them off again so we can have reaction.
Did you say
each.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah, 15.
So who's 6? Who
wrote this?
Who's
list?
17?
Yeah, okay. The author is Cody Benjamin. I don't know Cody Benjamin.
No, I'm just don't get him.
but it's pretty bad, Cody. I don't know.
Wait,
yet.
So who's 17?
Yeah, it's a pretty bad list. Okay, so 17. So you've got Cam, 17. You got Matt Ryan, 16. Herbert.
Wait.
Matt Ryan?
Matt, are you talking about the same Matt Ryan that has not won a game this season?
I mean, Matt Ryan is still, like, I would put Tannehill ahead of Matt Ryan, period. But, like, Matt Ryan being the top half of the league, that's fine. I don't have a problem with him being 16 Ryan, in general.
I mean, come on. Do you see him against that Panthers defense this week?
I can't believe you said Justin Herbert. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, this whole.
I can't believe you said Matt Ryan.
All due respect to Jared Goff. And the Rams have been really good, but Jared Goff, he's not 8 either.
No.
Kyler Murray's not 5 right now. He's got Josh Allen 4, by the way. So he's going Russ, Mahomes, Rodgers. So already you're a little bit ticked off. And then
I can live with
then
that.
Josh Allen. I mean, again, like.
So you don't have, you got Josh Allen ahead of Lamar Jackson at this point.
Yes, Lamar Jackson. Interesting. 6.
Lamar Jackson, who's also undefeated and has played pretty well.
One, but yeah.
No, they get the
loss. One loss. I keep thinking
and,
that.
And it was ugly.
Okay, but, so yeah, I mean,
yeah, so he's got Tannehill just a hair ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo right now. So
I don't understand.
I think some people honestly, and I don't know if this is this list, but in general, Tannehill is not going to have a bunch of 300-yard games. This is why, if you talk about him being in some awards races and stuff like that, he's not going to have the gaudy numbers, even though they can throw it around. But like. At this point, haven't people watched him play? I know the playoffs were kind of deceiving because they didn't throw much. But at this point, I would think people are kind of realizing and understanding what he's doing. And clearly, that's not the case around a lot of the league.
Is there like an – because usually there's like an explanation on why they're ranked where they are. Is there an explanation below it, or does it just say, number 18, Ryan Tannehill, let's move on, number 17?
Well, it says, have yourself a Tuesday night breakout. To move you up from 19 to 18.
A breakout?
I don't know, man.
Whose man's is this?
But this is one of those things where, like, I know that this happens with a lot of, like, players and teams. Like, we'll look at, like, okay, so Josh Allen. Josh Allen, I have thought, is not very good. Like, just a great athlete and a big arm, but just not very good. And I've changed my mind watching him. But, you know, that happens a lot. People are late to the party. People don't watch a guy snap after snap. So they're going to – it takes some time. But at this point, we've had enough time. Like, at this point, you gotta get this. Hey, the GMs that everybody – with Mike Sando, our guy who does the tiers every offseason, they put Tannehill third tier. So that's people in the league who still think that about him. I promise you, if this continues, he will be certainly a tier two quarterback next year. And frankly, I mean, he's right now performing right in a very short list of the best in the league.
I can't believe. I just can't get over the Justin Herbert. Like, did he graduate from Oregon? What's going on here?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, Mariota is 11th.
Yeah, okay.
Joey Harrington, Hall of Famer.
Yes, he's
where's Nick Mullins three on the list?
Akili Smith.
Is Nick Mullins on this list?
Just missed Hall of Fame. What's that?
Nick Mullins.
Jimmy G is on this.
Yeah, Jimmy G is right on Tannehill's heels right now. Yeah. So.
He's been great this year.
Ryan Fitzpatrick?
So thanks for the fun, Hibbs.
Where's Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Okay, let me look.
Far?
I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, Stafford, 20. You know, again, like Stafford, Mayfield, 24, by the way. Boy, poor Phil Rivers at 27. Yeah, Fitzpatrick makes the top 30. Number 29, baby.
There we go.
Yeah, buddy.
He deserves
it's magic, 29. Baby.
He deserves it, man. Everybody give a clap for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's amazing and who defeated the 49ers badly.
Maybe if, like, Tannehill single-handedly wins the Super Bowl, he'll crack the top 15 at some point.
It's getting a little weird with him look at him. Like, watch him play.
Crazy stuff. When we come back tomorrow, we will be coming back 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on Robbie and Rex Road. Fun show. We'll look ahead tomorrow to Titans and Texans. Can the Titans move it to 5-0? That'll do it for us today. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.